Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and we are getting set for the start of the season for the Keweenaw Roller Girls, and here to give us a preview of the season and tell you just how much fun roller derby is Jen Sams. Rowena Raging Claw is her name on the Keweenaw Roller Girls. Also Kim McMullen, who is also known as Kim Kong, and Melissa Williamson, a skating official, and also has a derby name, Malicious Intent. Welcome to the program, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Now, last year was the first year that I was able to get from, sort of firsthand, up-close experience with roller derby. I got to tell you, it was a whole lot of fun. It was a great season. Can someone kind of give me a recap of last year?
Yeah, we played 4 home games last year. and I'm trying to think, who did we play last year? We played the Alpena Shipwreckers, who we are playing again this year.
Chippewa Valley down from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Kingsford Crush.
And then we always have our Solar System Smackdown, which is a big mixed event where we invite skaters from all over the Midwest and put together 2 sort of ad hoc teams and see what happens. So we had a great season. We won a couple and lost a couple. And at the end of the season, we run our new skater program. So we picked up 6 new skaters, I think it was, for the start of this season. We're really excited.
Now, you played did your bouts up in Calumet last year. Now you're back to the D Stadium. You had been at the Houghton County Arena for a while. Mm-hmm. Now you're at D. What's it like to be, or what does it mean to be back in Houghton for it?
We're really excited. We haven't bouted in the D before. We've skated for practices, but we're really excited. It's a nice venue. People are excited to come watch us in that venue, I think. So the floor is pretty similar, right? It shouldn't change too much in that sense. it'll be more of drawing just a little bit different crowd, right? People maybe who can walk this way. But hopefully we'll still draw in our... We've got a lot of regulars, so hopefully they'll still make it down to see us.
Now, when I first started being at the bouts, I really didn't know anything about roller derby other than when I had interviewed you ladies last year. And hearing about it and seeing it are 2 entirely different things. It does take a little while. Once after you've seen it and you start to, I guess, process the rules a little bit, then, it becomes a whole lot easier to follow along. Originally, when you first sit down and watch it, it's just a lot of people ramming into each other going around.
It's kind of a hot mess.
Yeah, it's a lot going on.
So for those that maybe, didn't have that experience and don't know about the rules, let's talk a little bit about, the sport itself and how it's played.
Absolutely. Yeah, you want to jump in, Amai?
Sure. you have a race going on. The blockers, which are 4 on a team, try to stop the scorer, which we call the jammer. You'll recognize a jammer on the track by their helmet. They wear a star on their helmet. They're the only people on the team that can score points. So the blockers have to play offense and defense really at the same time. Your own blockers try to help you get through the pack, which is the group of skaters, while at the same time trying to stop the other jammers. Points are scored by passing the opposing players. So it's a little bit like a race, but also a little bit like a scrum, like where everybody's just in the same place at the same time.
A little bit like rugby with the hitting.
Yeah. Only faster. Yes.
Now, what is the significance of being the lead jammer?
Lead jammers can call off the jam at any time. If the jam isn't called off by the lead jammer, it goes a maximum of 2 minutes. But the first jammer through the pack establishes that significance of being the lead jammer, and then they can stop the jam. That's really important in order to prevent the other jammer from scoring points. So it's a real advantage.
Now, once the lead jammer has been established, can the other jammer take that role, or is it going to be one lead jammer for that whole jam?
One lead jammer per jam. If the lead jammer happens to get a penalty or go to the penalty box, they are no longer the lead jammer, and then the jam has to go for 2 minutes. Like you can't trade lead jammer status with the other jammer or with anyone else. There is also a little known star pass thing that happens sometimes, which is kind of confusing to watch. But the jammer can actually pass the jammer status to another player, but specifically only to the pivot, which is the blocker that wears the stripe on their helmet.
Wondering what that stripe was.
Yeah, that's the pivot is an important position. They're a little bit kind of like the mother hen. They do a lot of commanding of the blockers on the track, telling people where to go and being a little bit, you know, of a leader. But they can also be, they're also the only blocker that can take the star and become the jammer. But the lead jammer status, unfortunately, doesn't transfer. So if you take the star off, then there's no more lead jammer.
You're going 2 minutes.
Yep, yeah. 2 minutes.
We will attest that that's exhausting.
Yes.
Now, Kim, I got to say, and I say this with all honesty, you were my favorite skater to watch last year. It was a little bit like, you know, in a hockey game, the old-style hockey, watching the enforcer out on the ice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not by accident. You go with the nickname Kim Kong, and you know, you've got quite the hip check.
Yeah, it's something I work on like regularly. I feel like I've more almost become the name. I picked the name, and I became it, kind of. Like, I had to live up to this name. You can't just go around with a name like Kim Kong and barely hit anybody. So it was different because it felt like everything came together for me last year, and it's even coming together even more this year for me. Because last year was my second year bouting, and this year is my third year. And it just seems like everything is clicking. There should be some additional really good hits, I feel, this year.
Yep.
No injuries. That's my goal.
Well, besides doling out bruises, what role do you play when you're out there?
I actually, this year, our team captain, who is Thimbleberry Slam, she kind of is putting me more in the role of being the pivot, and so I have that opportunity to be the leader on the track because I'm also very loud. I have a very loud voice on the track, so people can hear me, and I can tell people where to go, and I'm communicating, and that's kind of what you need to do as to be that leader. You have to be vocal, but I also have then the opportunity to take the jammer panty, as we discussed before. And that is also another skill I've been working on, is being able to jam a little bit more. But I definitely am not one who takes the jammer panty right away.
Yeah. Well, the jammer role, as we've talked about, is, of course, a very important position to have. But the blockers that Melissa was talking mm-hmm. about, they may mean even more to the mm-hmm. success of the jam than the jammer itself.
Right. Because if you can't catch that other jammer, they're just going to keep scoring on you round and around. And there's like, it's like a wound that won't stop bleeding.
Yeah. We have in a strategy way. Called the tourniquet.
Yeah.
It's like, stop the bleeding.
Yeah. Just stop the bleeding. Get your jammer out. Cause sometimes you aren't being very successful at holding their jammer, either that they're super quick or they just can break through your line. And so that at that point you have to concentrate on your jammer and get her out just to be that, just cause if the other jammers lead, they don't want you scoring points, so they'll call off the jam. So,
when you have your team working together to form that wall to, mm-hmm. to be able to block, what restrictions do you have, I guess, placed on you, or the rules that just keep you from, well, let's just, when she comes around, let's just lay her out?
Direction of the hit is a one. Also, you can't grab and hold on to your teammate. You can't, with your arm, you can't make that, like, unbreakable thing. You're not playing Red Rover. Like, you're not trying to have them break through your arms. You have to do it so that if it's a breakable seal, so that they could push through if they were strong enough, they're not going to break a bone to break through.
One of the pleasures of watching, you know, all of the bouts that you participated at home last year was I saw a progression in the team from early on towards the end of the season. There was mm-hmm. a lot of improvement mm-hmm. that you can see in the team itself, Jen.
Yeah, absolutely. We are still a pretty young team. We were started in 2012 by somebody who had played derby before and moved up here. But at the same time, almost everybody who started had no idea what was happening. So every year we are learning more. The more we visit other teams at away games and go to boot camps and things like that, we learn more about high-level strategy. About a year and a half ago, we got accepted into the Women's Flat Track Derby Association, which is the national organization. So we have a lot more resources at our fingertips to explore and things like that. And a lot of it's just time on the track, right? The better you get as a skater, the more mental energy you can expend on strategy rather than thinking about where are my feet and things like that. So, like I said, we picked up about 6 new skaters, but we have quite a few skaters now who this is going into their 3rd season or so. So we are really, really starting to gel as a team and are very optimistic about what that's going to look like. We had a couple of away bouts 2 weeks ago, and we won one, lost one against East Lansing and against Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor's Ypsilanti team, which are 2 big teams. Really hard hitting, and we won one by 8 points and lost one. We lost to Ypsilanti by 8 points.
Oh, so both close.
Fantastic very games close. Of derby. Like, we played really, really well. It was super wonderful to see.
They were back to back, too. So, it was like, as soon as we finished playing one, it was our next game.
Double header.
Yep. Yes.
Oh, that had to have been tough because I know you're pretty worn out even after the one bout. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the 6 new skaters. What will it take? Because there's no minor leagues here. There's, you know, so what's it going to take to get them ready to be able to skate with the rest of you that's been doing it for a few years?
Absolutely. So we do essentially a new skater program in the fall. So they all went through that last fall. And there they learn the basics of skating, the basics of roller derby, and we continue to work on that over the winter. And it sort of culminates in what we call our minimum skills test, where we make sure that they can do a number of skills safety. It's things like take a hit well, fall competently, stop within 3 seconds, things like that that ensure that they're substantially less likely to break anything while they're out there on themselves or someone else. Because it can be a real risk if you have a really new skater fall in front of you and you have to jump over them, right? It gets dangerous. So once they've passed that, they start scrimmaging with us and learning a little bit more about strategy and how to work within our team. So most of them have been scrimmaging with us since about February. Some are just starting to move into that. And they will be, as they've done a couple scrimmages and passed those tests, hopping in to our bouts and rotating into our lines to learn the ropes, right? We try to include everybody as quickly as we can while still maintaining safety, because what's important to remember is we have this big structure built up, but this is our hobby. We all do it for fun.
Melissa, I want to come back to you because, you know, you have the job of, you know, being the official, refereeing these things, you know, so to speak. What background, you know, you've been a skater yourself in the past. That's where you picked up the name Malicious Intent. How many years did you play?
I started playing in 2010 down in Illinois and had a pretty bad injury. So I retired from skating and wanted to stay involved. So I started officiating in 2012, I think. Then I moved here in 2013 and the Keweenaw Roller Girls had just started up. They were just starting to have some bouts, and I moved here just prior to the first Solar System Smackdown, and only about 2 weeks ahead of that game, I moved to town, and one of the league founders said, oh my gosh, you have officiating experience. Can you come and help us? Because we don't know what we're doing. And so, you know, as much as I hadn't really intended to continue with my officiating career when I moved here, I just kind of fell into it, and my love of derby keeps me around. So I've got a few years under my belt. They constantly challenge the skating officials by changing the rules and making things, different from year to year. There's been a big shift in the last year to make things more inclusive for international skaters. Derby's worldwide now, so some of the language has changed as far as the verbal cues that we use for calling penalties in the game. So it's kind of a continuing ed thing for me, where we have to constantly stay informed, stay on top of the rules, stay on top of all of the changing things that are going on. So it's a lot to remember, but like Jen said, it's all part of the process of keeping the game safe and making sure that it's fun, yet, you know, nobody's out there getting injured and doing something that could cause harm to another skater.
When you said they constantly challenging you, I pictured people like him constantly challenging you. I was like,
well,
that
yeah,
is
no, too. We know better. Emma will throw us out.
Yeah. She can be intimidating.
No.
Kim, one of the great things about the bouts is the experience for the spectator. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a bit about the atmosphere at a bout, you know, that's taking place outside of the lines?
Well, it's just people are there to have fun. People are there to watch a sport. It's like going, if you go to a football game, you're there to have fun and see, again, like it's just the group that you're with too. Sometimes it's great to go as a group. We always encourage people to come too because there's activities for kids. So we have a kids' corner. We have food available. We always have our little beer cart there too for beer and hard ciders, just so like you can have a drink and enjoy that. And it's just a fun spectators event because you get to feel the energy from the crowd on the track. So like they're elated with you when you make a good hit or have a good scoring pass, and you can hear them go oh when like you yourself get taken out. So it's just like it's very interactive. And then we always have a show during the halftime so that even like when the skaters aren't on the track, there's still something going on and for them to be involved with. So it's just a fun, I don't know, like, and plus the skaters get to go out and talk with everybody and ask, like, answer questions after the bout. So it's just this big, I don't even know, it's just fun.
It's an event. We try to make it each thing, yeah, like, truly, truly an event and something that you want to go to with your friends or your family.
Mm-hmm. And you can get as up close as you want.
Yeah.
We do offer trackside seating, which literally means you can sit on the very edge of the track and, you know, get...
Yeah, you have a name for that section.
Suicide seating. It's just like, because you might get a skater in your lap occasionally.
But we do have a ref lane, which is, you know, where the outside skating officials skate. But you can sit right on the edge of that lane, which is just 10 foot from the skaters. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you're right at... You can feel their wheels rushing by you. Mm-hmm. So you can get up close and in the action.
Well, yeah, you're right. The skaters are definitely accessible before and after the bout, too. One of the things I enjoyed watching was, you know, not only was it great to see both the teams interact with each other at the end of a bout with the, you know, the gauntlet that you set up, and then the teams go through, and the shaking of the hands, and then just some of the time that you spend together talking. I think you guys even exchange gifts at one point.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But then also the fans and the young children coming up, you know, to meet the skaters, have their picture taken and stuff. That's really, really neat.
It's a lot of fun, and it's really rewarding to have mm-hmm. these little tiny kids come up to you and ask you to sign their poster, and you're like, oh, I'm just a person who's skating around a track, but you're adorable, so I'll do that. And it's really sweet. You get little kids who pick their own derby name, which is, especially some of the skaters' kids will have derby names, which is super cute, things like that. So we have a lot of fun.
Yeah, we always want to encourage kids to mm-hmm. Get involved in sports and stay active, so this is a great sport that really encourages boys and girls alike mm-hmm. to get involved and be active and do things that are for their community. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, roller derby is really a community sport, and we're a 501c3, so mm-hmm. it's not just athleticism, it's about community involvement. So mm-hmm. getting mm-hmm. little kids involved young and having junior derby and things like that is just, that's only going to benefit everyone in the community.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the community involvement. That's one thing we try to do as well at our games. We try to have a featured community organization that we promote, and often they'll run our 50-50 and get the profits from that. So I think, our first community organization at this, our initial home opener is going to be the Humane Society, which, of course, you know, I would say most of the team has pets from
Everybody
there.
Everybody loves dogs and cats.
Yes, and we're really excited to support them.
My dog's from there, too, rescue dog. Exactly. So. And so this, your first bout you have the mm-hmm. for your halftime entertainment is 41 North?
Yep, they're going to be doing a belly dancing show again. They did that mm-hmm. at a number of our bouts last year and were fantastic.
So yes.
We're very excited.
They're a good group of ladies. They're a good, great group of ladies. They're super excited about joining us again this year, too.
Putting together about and getting all of these people together. I mean, not just the skaters, but those that make it happen. I mean, just, you know, we'll take Melissa for example. I doubt you're getting paid, you know, for, for doing it. And you have announcers there.
We're all
and you
have volunteers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost everything with About is volunteer based. I liken it pretty frequently to planning four weddings over the course of the summer. I mean, it's very similar. So it is a lot of work goes into pulling these games together, getting people to serve food, and just having everything in place to, again, put on a good event takes massive quantities of work. We're actually tracking how many hours this semester, so we'll let you know next year. Or this semester. God, sorry. This year. I'm still at work.
You're from school.
I'm still at work in my brain. So we can let you know next year how many hours, but it's a lot.
Well, besides the fundraiser that you just had, mm-hmm. what are some ways that you try to raise money to be able to put these on? Is it just through the ticket sales?
Ticket sales is a big one. We also approach businesses in the community to see if any of them are willing to support us, and many are. Often they're very excited to see a sport like this growing in the community. We usually have one or two fundraisers a year, so we did a pancake breakfast. And we'll probably have something else later this year. And then we sell merchandise at our bouts. That's the other big one.
Okay. And tickets for bouts are $5 a piece. Mm-hmm. Doors open at 5 o'clock. You have your first local bout here coming up on May 5th at D Stadium, going at Shipwreck Alley again, right?
Yeah.
I remember. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, didn't you guys wipe the floor with them last year?
Yeah.
Yes, they're a brand new team, but their energy is so great. They're so excited. They're like, even if like you did give them a big hit, they're like, oh my goodness, that was amazing. They just want to like learn. They're all about what Derby is. It's just the experience, the community, the support that you give to each other. Because that's one of my favorite things about Derby is like, no matter who you are, like you have this team behind you and they support you, and like it's not just your team, that's all of roller derby. You meet roller derby players from anywhere and they're willing to sit there and talk with you and support you with anything.
How diplomatic. Here I laid it, so she could have just we knocked them silly. No, she took the high road on me.
To be fair, they've been learning all winter, and derby teams evolve rapidly.
Right. So. They're working hard. Yeah. We're friends with them, like a lot of the players on Facebook, and we see all the work that they're putting into it. So I'm really excited to see how far they've come in this year. Yeah.
It's all in good, clean fun.
Yes.
Anyway, so.
We played several teams last year that kind of wiped the floor with us, too. So
that's
how you learn.
Exactly.
You know, these girls can play against each other at practice, and you get used to what they, you know, each other do. And you know, oh, this person's going to do this, or this person's going to hit me in this manner. So you have to reach out. You have to find new people. You have to challenge yourself in order to bring those high-level skills back to your own league.
I do want to mention too, since we were talking about tickets, Jen, that there's option to get a VIP season pass too that has some benefits.
There absolutely is. So VIP passes are $50. They get you entry into all four bouts, as well as a credit for merchandise that I believe is $20. And then so we usually do half price drinks, but from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. until first whistle. But if you have a pass, you can do half-price drinks to the whole game. And I think we'll have VIP seating. So it's a pretty sweet deal. You can find the link for those on our Facebook page and on our website. So I would encourage you to check that out.
99.3 The Lift is proud to be a sponsor this year, you know, helping out with getting the word out, doing things like this show here. And going to do a shameless self plug. If people, together we all did a documentary on the Keweenaw Roller Girls last year called Jammed Together, the Keweenaw Roller Girls, and went on to win an award at the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. So very proud of that, and really because, you know, it was so much fun to just work on that. Turned out to be a whole lot more work than I, you know, thought I was about.
Think how much you know about Derby now, Rick.
Definitely. And I learned it from really doing that. You were talking about the different sections that you have for referees and stuff. And you have, for somebody that's trying to photograph, if you want to be in the middle, they put you in this little 6-inch square box. And the only thing you can do is kind of turn around. As you're, turns out to be not a very good place for video because there's everybody in your way the entire time as you turn around. But so I encourage people to go online and get it on the I think it's on our Lyft Facebook page. You can watch that if you want to. I think it will teach you a lot about what roller derby is and introduce you to the skaters. Yeah. So coming up, getting ready for this season, what else do you have to do to, I guess, be ready to take the league by storm?
Well, right now we're waiting for the ice to come off the D. That's the big one. But I think we're going to continue to work on our strategy and get those new skaters up to snuff and throw them into the mix. I think that's going to be the biggest mm-hmm. thing. We're really excited to have them.
We're always looking for volunteers, too.
Yes, thank you.
For the bouts. You don't have to know anything about derby. We need people to sell beer. We need people to take tickets at the door, potentially help with parking. Like, there's all kinds of volunteer opportunities for individuals or for groups, sororities, fraternities, you know, people from Michigan Tech. If, you know, if anybody's wanting to get more involved, we're always happy to return the favor to organizations, too, that help us. But, mm-hmm. you know, we're always needing people. So
shoot,
we definitely need to round up some volunteers for the bout to make it work.
A good way to get in contact with us is just message our Facebook page. It's monitored almost all the time. Someone's on it doing updates and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's the best way to reach out to us and get involved because we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, I'll be there. Can't wait. Thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.